right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from Maker's Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this
place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down to possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because the guy reads comics he can't...
I'll fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse.
Over the years, in the Batman movies.
Hello, everyone. I'm Michael Caine.
I'm not even going to try. We know how good I do with...
I'm Michael Caine.
...with attempting to...
You're supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Wow, it's... You know, when you do these impressions...
Yes? What? Go on.
It sounds so good. So you think, good.
It's almost like you're talking to the real person.
That's it. Terrible. But we are here for 2 weeks in a row.
Yes.
What?
So that's
write
a thing.
The date down.
That's a thing. 2 weeks in a row after our 3-week hiatus.
When's our summer break? We just had our spring one. When's our summer one?
Yes.
Well, you have accidentally perhaps stumbled upon Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode number 329.
That is correct.
Oh, I got it right. And yes, and we're calling it... I know why the cage. It's got to be Maya Angelou thing. Who's in a cage? Something in a cage.
Podcast laureate.
We will come up with a title as we go along.
That's
and
right.
And there it
flipping
is.
Flipping the format.
We'll call it In Progress.
In Progress. There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see. X-Men. Nope. No, we'll come up with it later.
How about Memorial Day? Did everybody enjoy the Memorial Day weekend?
I was here.
You were here
I was here
one
working hard
days?
In the studio.
That's right. Well, I don't know about working hard, but you were here.
I was here. That's true.
You were here. Yes. There was a little shindig.
Yes, celebrating the birth of your son, the anniversary.
And my wife.
And your wife.
Yes. They fall days apart.
Yo, can I say, literally. Can I just say yeah. this? Does your sister listen to this program?
I don't think so.
Yo, mean Aunt Bean.
Yeah.
She makes a hell of a cake.
She does make it. Her husband might listen to this program.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Uncle Al might be.
Uncle Al and mean Aunt Bean, they created a cake for OG's son that was like Lego blocks and like a huge Lego person.
Yes.
Out of like so the, marshmallow.
The what Lego, the Lego guy.
Yeah.
Who was, what would you say? It was maybe eight.
Not quite. Yeah. It's a, yeah. 8 inches. Say a maybe good 8 inches. Yeah.
He was made out of Rice Krispie treats.
Yes.
Covered in fondant.
Fondant.
And then the cake itself was a homemade chocolate cake, also covered in fondant with the little brick
little
nubs
brick
on it, nubs. Right? And his name and, yep, like the Lego font.
Yep.
And then there were two or three.
Three.
Little bricks.
Lego
bricks.
They're not little, son. Yeah, they were like.
They were big Lego bricks.
They were made out of pound cake.
They were made out of pound cake.
If that gives you any clue, yeah, as to their scale.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty.
Do you have a photo of that? You should put a photo of that.
I believe that I do have a photo that I can add in there.
Since we talked, I ate the Lego guy's arm.
I ate the other arm.
Oh, you did?
I did. I ate it. So,
just like,
so the rest of them is currently black knighting it in my fridge. So
that sounds awesome.
Yeah. It was a good time.
It was a good. It was a good party.
Why can't we have cool theme cakes just in general?
They just cost thousands of dollars. Unless Mean Aunt Bean.
You know, if we ever decide to have another live event, I might be able to get Mean Aunt Bean to to make us a cake.
That would be awesome.
We might be able to.
When are we having that live event?
Well, the last one was episode 300.
Right.
So that was 30 episodes ago.
So
about 40 weeks ago.
600.
600.
No. We should do like
our 10-year anniversary. That's a year and a half away.
500. 10 years, something. Well,
yeah, something. We'll pick something.
Yeah, we should.
We'll do something.
Yeah,
I think we should pick a random episode.
There you go. 336.
Yep. We're just celebrating odd numbers. We're celebrating odds and evens.
Maybe we'll try to do a New York Comic Con party or something, like during con week.
Yeah, we gotta like just make sure that we get in that con.
Yeah. Hey, listen,
be okay,
you know, special edition is coming up in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Did you we should probably do that.
I think we're past the deadline.
Are we?
Yeah, for press registration. Yeah, I think we might have missed our golden opportunity.
No, we'll find,
but
it
that doesn't
anyway.
That doesn't mean we can't still get in.
Yeah,
I think we just may have missed the official deadline.
Let's see if we can work something out. I'd like to go to that.
I really want to go to that. Actually, you know what else I want to go to that's this weekend? I won't be able to go, but it is this weekend. Superheroes for Hospice.
That's this weekend?
It is. It's the 31st. So for those of you who are local to Northern New Jersey, Saturday.
Oh, I can go.
Superheroes for Hospice is at St. Barnabas in West Orange. This is a charity event. So the one of the administrators at the hospital, Spiros...
Yeah, I don't know. He's got one of those Greek names.
Yeah, it's mad Greek. But
he
has all these books that are both donated, and I think there are collections and stuff like that. And he's only, I think, one other vendor other than his stuff. And the money goes back to the hospital. It's really a charity event.
Isn't it? I thought it was like a soldier thing, wasn't it? Like,
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But they do have some guests coming in. I know one of the guests this time around, actually one of the reasons I wanted to go is Joe Caramanga.
Oh, really?
I love Joe. Joe's a good cat. And he's working on the Rocket Raccoon book.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that.
Right? He did the Free Comic Book Day book, I think, and he's working on the regular book when it launches, isn't he, with Scotty Young? I might be mistaken on that.
I did hear something about that.
But I like Joe, so I wanted to go say hello.
Now, last year they had, it's the reason I went last year, they had the artist of Blue Devil and Blue Beetle, the original artist. I cannot remember his name.
I will post a link to it. But if you go, they don't have a full website. It's all on Facebook.
Right.
So if you go to Facebook and look for Superheroes for Hospice,
right,
you will find their Facebook page.
Can we like share something maybe? Like
I will share it as well, and I'll try to post the link. And also, since we're talking about things coming up, I
have to say, not that I want to dive off, not that I want to prevent us from moving on or anything, I got a lot.
I know. I want to go.
Really
lots of
good
trades
books,
and stuff.
Really
I know.
Dirt cheap there
so
last year.
If I can try to sneak over there for an hour, maybe I will. I mean, it's literally like 5 minutes
I know.
From where I live.
What's,
so.
What are you doing on set? What do you got? Mow the lawn?
No, I've got Thomas's birthday phase 3 is this weekend.
Phase 3?
What is Marvel producing this?
Yes.
Yeah, it is, exactly.
Well, he had one at school. He had a family one.
Uh-huh.
And then he's got one with friends.
See, this is why we get disappointed later in life.
Like, I know.
Like little kid friends?
Yeah. Yeah, so friends from day preschool and stuff like that. But anyway, also coming up on, I believe, June 8th, that date could be wrong, but I'll post a link. SketchCon, which is a convention that I still haven't gone to, but
right,
I really want to. I know Suburban Vinyl, of course, awesome sponsor of the show, will be there with a booth.
June 8th, that is? Is that
I
also a Saturday?
I believe it is a Saturday.
Oh, man.
Oh, actually, maybe it might be a Sunday.
Oh,
if the 31st is a Saturday, then the 8th is a Sunday.
Saturday.
Right? Is that how that works out?
Yes, I believe so.
So, but Christian, who's one of the artists that's always at Geek Flea, runs that con. I can't think of his last name, but I have two of his prints here in the studio. But he put together that con. And it's really an artist-driven convention, and there's some great talent that's going to be there. So I want to check that out. So if you're
Where
local, check that out as well. East Rutherford.
Maybe? Oh, really?
Yeah, another one that's fairly close to us.
Maybe I'll be able to get down to that.
So, cool. So I think
maybe
we can
I'll
probably
just take the late and go there.
But let's move forward with the show.
Shall
yes.
We
did have a voicemail.
Yeah.
Do we want to start? I think we should go into that and then roll into the rest of the show from there.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
I think we should just hit the news and then, you know.
But that's kind of the news because I was going to talk about how it wrapped because the season finale was last week.
Yeah.
And this kind of leads into it.
Yeah, we can do that.
Want to do that?
Yeah,
sure. All right,
so let's play that voicemail now.
Hi, this is Tom Groves at Onabox at Twitter. I just finished watching the season finale of Hannibal, and without giving anything away, I just was curious as to how Scapegoat thought the series was going and staying true to the history of the series of books, movies, whatever. I know the movies and the books are slightly different, but I was just curious as to how he thought about that. Thanks. Bye.
So there you go. Super fan, Tom. Tom calls in all the time. He's one of our lead contributors to the voicemail segment of the show.
Okay.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. We appreciate his voicemails. Maybe.
We need a producer.
Employee number 11.
No, we don't.
Well, clearly that question was directed at you, although you could chime in as well,
absolutely.
Because I know that you watch.
Please do.
I watched it first. I watched it before Scapegoat.
And I do not watch. So go answer.
Have you been watching at all?
No.
Are you going to power watch?
I am so far behind. I'm like all the way behind on Orphan Black. I'm way behind on Game of Thrones. I went away for a week and somehow I got like 6 weeks behind on television. I don't know how that happened, but
real life took over.
Yeah. Life got in the way.
Life.
So yes, Hannibal, it wrapped up. Season finale had a couple of, oh my God moments as I saw a couple.
It did. It
was, oh my God moments almost from beginning to end.
Yeah, that show is
crazy.
Absolutely. So I know I keep saying this, but just holy shit. If you have not seen that show, go watch it in its entirety. Season one is on Amazon. Season two, if you have Xfinity or Comcast, whatever the fuck they want to call it, find it somehow. Who cares? It has been renewed for season three, so you're not watching the end of anything.
Right.
There's more going on. But I think the only way to really talk about this is to now tell you, if you haven't seen it, stop listening.
This
for
is
about
spoiler alert.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
And I thought as far as over the top goes, I did not think they could top last week's.
No.
And then the season finale happened, and I was like, yep, they can.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's amazing to watch. It's a fantastic episode to tell. I was just talking about this the other day. There are shows that are amazing. I'm not saying most fun to watch, but best TV. Like Breaking Bad is one of those series that you may not like it, but holy crap, that's one of the best TV. The Wire. I understand everyone talks about that. Hannibal's like, I'm putting that near those shows right now. Just really well written. In terms of, does it fit canon?
Yeah.
Brian Fuller, the showrunner of the show, has kind of all talked about how they're playing with it, right? So the first thing is, they still do not have the rights to Silence of the Lambs. So they were talking about what happens when they have to, introduce characters that would be that. And they're pretty much like, they would name them, Schmarice, like that kind of stuff. So
Albany Tom.
That's literally what Brian Fuller said. He's like, because we're gonna get to those stories, so we're gonna have to kind of
do we?
Th-
do they think
character.
They're gonna get the rights? Are they trying to pursue it, or
well,
they've given up on it?
So apparently they're making a TV show about Clarice Starling. That's her name, right?
Yeah,
Clarice Starling. Right?
Is that still happening? I thought that was dead.
Yeah. So apparently they're trying to do that, and Brian Fuller was like, okay, well, how about you get to actually mention Hannibal? We'll give you the rights to Hannibal because that's what we have. And then we get to use Clarice. And they're like, no, you have what you have and we have what we have. And he's like, they're still not budging.
But is it Fox that's doing Clarice?
I thought that project was dead.
I think it's MGM owns it.
Yeah.
I think it's like a USA Network show. If
so
I,
they're
remember.
Being,
I
don't know. They're being a little fruity about
they
it.
They are. They're being a little. I don't know, but I think the show Hannibal is pretty big and got renewed and has like Best of on Hulu
right.
and stuff. I think they may get the right. There's another season before they need them,
right?
Because season four. But we know that the next season is going to be a mashup of Hannibal Rising,
okay,
and the book Hannibal.
Okay.
So
why Hannibal Rising? Are they going to do a lot of
what Brian Fuller has said, so if you're asking about canon and how it's going to be in the books, they're completely reinventing Hannibal's backstory and will have nothing to do with the books.
Oh, so from this point forward everything changes.
So no, the so the origin story of Hannibal
changes.
Is going to be different.
Okay.
Yeah, from in the show. I don't think they're that far away from doing certain things. I think Dr. Chilton is still going to be around. I think you still have the characters that you need to tell the stories in the novels and the movies. But I also think, you know, I like that they're playing with the canon of the, you know, the show.
Right.
Because it takes place in the same universe, but they're messing with some things. So
sure.
I don't know how concerned I am with does it really need to fit in the movies or books. I'm just happy that there's a show that I still don't know how they get away with this on network television.
Right, right.
That they're able to tell such kind of ballsy stories and do these crazy things.
And it's that part of it I totally agree with you with. The graphicness
yeah.
of what has been shown
yeah.
on the NBC network in this program
yeah.
is unbelievable.
Gives you high hopes for Constantine.
Kind of does.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. I don't know. I'm absolutely blown away by the show. I want to talk more about the finale, but I want to give people a chance to watch it too.
So well, now that we've answered this question,
yeah.
why don't we give the listeners one more go, one
yeah.
more week to catch up the finale?
Absolutely.
That's fair, right?
Yeah.
And we'll hit the finale next week.
Let's do that.
All right. So do you think that sufficiently answers his question? I think so, right? I think that answered
yeah.
the voicemail question. So let's move into Days of Future Past then.
First, though.
Yes.
If you want to leave a message as well.
Oh, yes, of course.
We encourage you to do so.
Yes, you can do that.
425-920-6050. So hit us up at the GVM line.
That's right.
We can talk about you.
And this is the challenge.
Yeah.
Dethrone Tom Onabox Groves. You become the next super voicemail leaver.
Yep.
Here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Not that we don't love Tom.
No, no.
I'm just saying, who doesn't love a challenge?
There you go.
If I tallied up, I'm sure he would be in the number one or two spot.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. He's
yeah,
been listening for
sure.
He's awesome. He came to our live event 2 times ago. The one at the Nutley Museum.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was a good live event.
That was a good live event.
Yeah.
Big right. Rat's last appearance on the show.
Big Rat's last. Well, you know.
Not if, final. If, I said no, last.
You know, if Big Rat would stop traveling the world. Although I heard that according to usatoday.com.es, Big Rat was involved in a major car accident today in San Bernardino, California. No. That
no
was the Lou Ferrigno
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I know. I can't
so
believe happened. You did
so,
that.
So there
I can't
was
believe this, you did
I was
that.
Totally lost.
No, yeah.
no, I'm going to throw myself under the bus.
Please
silly
do.
Rabbit segues are for kids.
So I'm on the Facebook today, and there's an article that pops up with the USA Today
logo.com
like an address, and it's Lou Ferrigno dies, and I click on the page, and the link comes up, and it's he died in this car accident, and it was someone who had cut him off, and he rear-ended him, and the car flipped, and it all sounded very like
believable.
It wasn't yeah. like anything ridiculous, like he was struck by gamma radiation and melted into a bottle, like nothing crazy. So I say something to the scapegoat. I'm like, oh, you know, we have our, you know, in memoriam for this week.
Yeah.
But now I can't find the article anymore, and no other news outlet is reporting on it.
Yep. I'm just like, are you sure this happened?
And then
know what would happen if Lou Ferrigno died?
What?
His autograph would probably go up 80 or 90 cents.
Perhaps.
in value.
Perhaps it
no, would. No, stop. He's at everything.
Everything.
He's at everything. I was at 7-Eleven the other day. He was doing a signing there.
He is
every vinyl banner taped to the wall behind him.
At a 7-Eleven?
I like that.
It's a joke, sir. It's the point. He's everywhere.
See, the problem is it's not funny.
Scapegoat.
Yeah, it's
oh, no,
usually
it's
supposed
funny.
To be funny.
Oh, no, it's funny.
No, I wasn't insulting your humor. I was saying that he's at so many things, I believed you. That he would go to a 7-Eleven.
I am
Slurpee
convincing.
Fest. You don't know about Slurpee
listen,
Fest?
He's not Virgil.
Special guest Lou Ferrigno.
He's not yep. WWE's Virgil.
Sizes so big, the Hulk would have them.
No, only Virgil.
I'm just saying.
Only...
Wait, 7-Eleven, that one was for you. Hulk-sized Slurpees.
There you go.
For Ferrigno to come in and sign.
Only Virgil is at more things.
Virgil.
Than Lou Ferrigno.
Sets up a table in the New York subway system. In the tunnel to the New York...
Seriously?
To sell, yes. There are photos of this.
That's, yeah,
he shows up to conventions where he's not invited and sets up tables right outside the convention, like in the parking lot or right by the front door, and sells his wares. Yeah,
it's just sad.
It is sad. It's go sad. To check out the Tumblr page.
It's like Galaxy Quest.
Check out the Tumblr page, Lonely Virgil.
Oh.
And have a good time.
Lonely Virgil.
Time. Oh, God.
But anyway,
yeah.
Let's move on to Days of Future Past.
Sure.
So I originally heard some not so great things.
Yeah.
And then I heard some really good things.
Yeah.
And then I heard the after credit spoiler. So, and I haven't seen it yet. So
it's not a spoiler. It would be an after credit
stinger. Sorry.
Preview or after credit event.
Well,
or
it's a spoiler.
It spoils nothing because
it's a stinger.
No, I'll tell you why it's a spoiler. It's a spoiler because if you haven't seen Days of Future Past and you don't want to know,
and we are going to talk a lot about it, so you need to fast forward your 20 minutes.
Right. It's a spoiler because Bryan Singer had previously said that Apocalypse will not be in the film in any way, shape, or form. So in that regard,
he wasn't.
Okay. Yes, he was.
Abin-Sur was.
Abin-Sur was.
But Abin-Sur is Apocalypse.
No, not
he's
yet.
Not. He's not actually.
He's just Abin-Sur.
He just hasn't. He just hasn't modified again. Himself yet.
I guess.
It's come on.
It's come not on. As bad as the Khan lie.
What was the Khan lie?
When J.J. Abrams promised that Khan was not the villain to start. So I mean,
He
never promised that it wasn't the villain.
Yes, he did.
Did he promise?
He did. He said it's definitely not Khan is the villain. And then it was Khan. Fucking asshole. Anyway.
So talk about the film.
Yeah.
What you liked, what you hated. Did you hate it at all?
So here's so I brought that up kind of accidentally, but that is how I feel about Days of Future Past. It was Star Trek for X-Men.
Okay.
The Star Trek reboot. And what I mean by that is it essentially allows them to tell whatever stories they want.
Right.
While keeping the same sort of, not really, continuity of the... Making you feel like all those X-Men movies that you watched, including X-Men Origins Wolverine, bleh, I know.
Yeah.
The Wolverine, eh. And X-Men 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Make you feel like those had value, but none of them ever happened. Okay. So as
Hold on.
So as you pointed out... That's what they did. You said that for a while. Except, they were undoing the entire franchise. First Class happened 100%.
Right. Yep.
And the characters from X-Men 1 are all still around. So at the end of the movie, I will spoil this all for you. Beast is there. I'm not sure if it was Kelsey Grammer who was actually in the role, but
it certainly sounded like
it. It sounded like him. Anna Paquin was there and got top billing for a 5-second cameo. Everybody's back. Everyone's alive. Jean Grey's there. Scott Summer. Everyone's back.
Oh, Scott Summers was in.
Scott Summers shows up.
And they got James Marsden?
At the end.
Yes, they did.
At the very end.
When the
future is fixed.
Yeah, okay. So what they're showing you essentially is that all of the X-Men movies trilogy didn't happen. So they were able to rewrite history. There's one problem.
Is Nightcrawler back?
No.
Damn it.
And he won't be back.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense that I don't think Nightcrawler can exist anymore.
He doesn't
universe.
Exist.
Why? Because Azazel.
Do you want me to tell you?
Dead? Yeah, tell me.
Azazel is dead.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, and that other. All of his, including Emma Frost. Yeah. Emma Frost, Azazel, and whoever the Whirlwind was. I can't remember which.
First Class happened, yeah. So
First Class happened, but those three are dead in the continuity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Trask captured and experimented on them.
Okay.
And it looks like Thunderbird. Also, so that's not Thunderbird in the movie, it's Warpath.
Yes.
Right. So I think Thunderbird was one of the other pictures.
Okay.
Because he looked a lot like the kid playing Warpath. So
yeah.
That happened. The only thing they did not erase, unfortunately, is the first half of X-Men Origins Wolverine.
What do you mean? How did they not erase that?
Because it's his birth up through the wars and all that part of it. That all still exists.
Yeah, but that was the least worst part of.
That's
Origins
not.
No.
But that's his origin. Who cares? That's not. A big
I'm just saying, like that part of it is still
okay.
Intact.
Yes, fair enough.
Because, but that all predates First Class, so that kind of makes sense.
Yes. Yeah,
Anything that predates First Class. Correct.
Essentially, First Class is the last thing we know that actually happened, and then you go to this new present, future-y fucking thing, whatever.
Which was awesome to watch the Sentinels. Kick their asses.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Xavier in a floaty chair, because apparently there's better technology in the present.
Yep.
And we don't know.
That's the
and
future.
I'll lead in. I'll lead into what I think.
There are two, I think, outstanding plot holes.
Okay.
Not plot holes. You mean plot holes as in things that they fucked up in this movie or things we don't know yet?
No. Plot holes.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about that.
One.
Kitty Pryde. I was going to ask that. I don't understand this.
Kitty Pryde is able to send people
their back consciousness
into their consciousness, into their former selves in the past.
But we don't know why Kitty Pryde
is standing over him, and she has her hands on either side of his head, and lightning seems to be going.
She's like doing the Miyagi-san, like the
that's like far enough so you can see the effect.
I guess she's phasing them through time. It doesn't really make
It's not really clear
her
what
power
it is.
Doesn't really make
it's not
sense.
A power I've ever seen in the books that she has, except for the one instance where she used a power similar to that in the original Days of Future Past.
Okay.
But she moved herself.
Right. She did not move
backwards.
Right.
So it's a little strange. That was a little, and they don't do any explanation like, you know, Kitty discovered that she could, you know,
right.
I'm Professor Xavier and this is my Professor Xavier.
That's terrible.
It's not that bad.
Oh, and the other plot hole is that they're alive. He's alive.
There's two things.
Who's alive?
Xavier.
Oh, okay.
There's two things that are grossly unexplained. One, how Professor X is alive after X3.
Right.
And two, how Wolverine got his metal claws back.
Well, we don't know that he did.
Yes, he did, because he cuts her with them when he's on the table. He pops them out. They're metal.
Those weren't metal.
They were metal.
In this version of the future.
In the future, when he is... when
does he have them in X3?
Yes.
Okay.
He loses them in The Wolverine, which takes place after X3.
Yes, but if they've retconned it, then
they didn't. They didn't retcon until this movie.
This is Wolverine of the future. The Wolverine that takes... The character of Wolverine that takes place after X3 and the Wolverine, and then this part of the movie, he's got the metal back on his claws because he cuts when he's.
Are you sure those were metal?
They were metal. They were totally metal.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
I don't remember them being metal.
They were metal.
Someone else said to me he had the bone claws in the movie.
I thought
he had the bone claws in the 70s.
Okay.
When Kitty sends him back to the 70s, he has the bone claws.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the one who's being sent has the metal claws.
So is
which
it
doesn't make sense.
Is this,
are they saying that the Wolverine never happened before
they
retcon it?
That's what I mean. Is this that they've just changed enough so that he never actually loses
the
metal?
No. But this is in the future timeline before they retcon
it. Before they retcon it.
So theoretically, it's...
It's the Blink era.
Hold on.
The era with Blink and all those.
That's not a good thing to say, because Blink has been in every alternate history ever.
No. We're just talking about the movie.
Yeah, So basically, it's possible that a story happens between the Wolverine and...
Yes. It's entirely...
I'll
give you just a pure speculation. I have no explanation whatsoever for Xavier. Except for the fact that we know... You know, that little bit at the end of X3 where it's like, Gene, or whatever.
Yeah, he's there. Says,
or Moira, whatever
he's
he says.
He's not dead.
Right, but he's not him either, right? There's no explanation to that. However, it's entirely possible that they're at war, that Magneto puts it on him.
That's true.
That's entirely possible, that Magneto, in a reverse of the comic situation where Magneto pulled the adamantium off of Wolverine's skeleton, I think... He puts it on. It's entirely plausible that he could have put it on him
this
instance.
It's not like gaping.
So
it's a good point.
It's just something.
I wonder if it's something that could potentially be addressed in a future film.
No, I think they'll
leave
it alone.
That would then make sense.
No, because it's retconned.
Because they've retconned the whole series. Why would they go back and explain things that don't matter anymore?
So where the problem comes in is... In the past, where they fix everything, they stop Trask and all that stuff in the past, that sort of fixes the future. Wolverine, the consciousness of Wolverine that knows everything, the one from the future that goes, the consciousness that goes back to the past, right, is actually knocked unconscious and is unconscious toward the at the end of the movie. When he reawakens... Right, because the timeline has been fixed.
Right,
he reawakens in the future, but the future has now changed. It's just the normal Xavier school. Scott, Jean are there. Everybody's there, and he goes into Professor X, and he essentially says, "So I'm here." And he goes, "Welcome back. I was wondering when this was going to happen." How you know? And he says something like, "How long have I been gone?" or whatever. And he goes, "We have a lot of catching up to do." They do not show whether he has metal claws or not. So whatever happens between the end of X-Men Days of Future Past And that movie, at least part one of that, is Apocalypse. So here's my theory.
Okay.
We good? So far, are we good?
Wait, sure. Did we say what the after credit stinger was?
No.
We should say that first.
It's Apocalypse.
They're in the desert. There's a guy manipulating and making pyramids with just like his mind in his hands. Yeah. You know, like.
And he's got
telekinetic.
He's got the blue skin with the.
I thought it was gray.
Or gray skin blue, with the blue lips.
Yeah. Blue gray. Yeah. And they're chanting Abensur, which is what it is, which is what Apocalypse's real name is. Okay. So that's the bit at the end. So here's my theory. The Wolverine of the 70s that was whose consciousness was taken over by the Wolverine of the future.
Right.
That Wolverine is going to wake up at the beginning of Apocalypse because the other Wolverine is gone.
Okay.
Does this make sense to you so far?
Sure.
This Wolverine is not part of the X-Men. This is the one that told Xavier and Magneto to fuck off.
Right.
This is that guy. Right. I think he's going to. Stryker has also seemingly been effectively neutralized in this movie.
Okay.
Right. So Stryker is actually a character in this movie. And he is, from my opinion, I don't know how you feel about this scapegoat. I think he is effectively neutralized. I think there's no Weapon X project.
I agree.
I think cranky Wolverine wakes up, tries to get recruited, and is like, fuck you. I don't even part of you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I think he's found in some way, shape, or form by Apocalypse. And I think Apocalypse is forming the Horsemen. And I think he makes Wolverine Death and puts the metal on his skeleton and on his claws.
Was Wolverine Death ever?
No, Archangel was Death.
But is Angel back at the end of the film?
He's There's not. No, no there Angel's can't gone. Be Angel either.
Why can't there be Angel?
Because that origin story would have occurred. Yeah. He would have occurred.
In X2. Was he in X2?
No, he was in X3.
X3. But that part of that story with the military and Worthington is probably gone.
Yeah, but. Okay. But. He's still out there.
He's still
just
out.
Not an X-Men. He's you know what I mean? Worthington still exists. Maybe. Is what I'm saying.
He is a.
Well, why wouldn't he exist?
He's listen. Unless I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you.
You know, right.
He's
some sort
20,
of butterfly effect.
He's 20.
Yeah.
Ish years old in X3.
Yeah.
Which means he's born in what, the 90s.
Yeah.
The next movie takes place in 1980.
So you're saying he's not born yet?
I'm saying he's not born yet.
Does it take place in 1980? Do you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that. Okay.
So 1980, early 80s, 80 or early 80s is what is what's being said. So based on that, there's no Angel to turn into Archangel, who is Death of the Four Horsemen.
Right. So we need a Death.
I think it's Wolverine. I think.
Well, who does he introduce as the other three? Who do you think the other?
Who knows?
I don't know. But I like this idea of Wolverine being Death, because essentially, you know, there's going to be another Wolverine movie. And we don't need Wolverine to be the goddamn main character of the next fucking X-Men movie. We're going to have Wolverine fatigue. So this puts him in a position of
being the villain.
Being part of the villain, right? And that's how you also get Magneto and Charles to team up again.
Right.
Eric and Charles to team up again, because in one way, Magneto probably, or I bet Mystique is involved too. Mystique.
We don't know Mystique's film origin, right? Yeah. She shows up as a child. There's no origin. There's no reason on earth why she couldn't in some way
be related to
the Apocalypse storyline, if not to Apocalypse himself. At the end of the movie, she is in possession of Wolverine.
Okay.
And we don't know what the hell she's going to do with him.
Dressed as Stryker.
My guess is, like, Apocalypse is enhancing mutants and whatever, and she could be pretty much aligned with Apocalypse until Apocalypse decides to start killing fucking everyone on the planet, and she goes, no, this is not what I meant.
Right. Right. However, she will have already turned over a cranky pre-X-Men
Wolverine.
Okay. Who goes, fuck it, I can have all this power, and, you know. And he just like he did with Angel, he just fucks his head up to the point where he's like, well, I'm Death.
And then the Wolverine, the next Wolverine movie, is him
regaining his humanity.
All right. So now, just out of curiosity, because I don't remember.
Oh, it could be Alpha Flight.
Could be Alpha Flight, the next X-Men, Wolverine movie.
So it would be Wolverine. It would be Patch. Not Patch.
No.
That was Wolverine. That was when he was in Canada with Alpha Flight, right?
No. Patch was long after that. He was in Alpha Flight, like, after the Hulk 181 era.
Yeah, okay. Who were the original Horsemen other than Apocalypse? It was Caliban.
Caliban was
War. Wasn't
a replacement
Horseman. Oh, yes, yeah, he was a replacement.
So
I don't remember who the original Horseman was.
I think they were just created. I don't think it was. He didn't pick. Of course, they totally could do that this time.
Yeah, yeah.
They totally could. I mean, it could be Havoc. I mean, it could be...
Right, right.
Havoc is still alive. Toad is still alive. I don't know that they're going to go that direction unless they want to get rid of those characters. The other thing they could do is they could do exactly that. They could just pull four really cool... on the line characters, if you will, and just turn them into the horsemen.
Huh. All right.
I think it's I think it makes total sense. He made Angel's Wings metal when they were flesh-ish, you know, or off. In that case, they were off actually at that point. But the point is, I think if anybody can do it, Apocalypse certainly has the ability to do it. And if they can do it and they need a death, why not do it?
All right. Well. We'll see where the X-Men franchise goes.
We'll find out. It's next year?
2 years. 16.
2 years. 16. Ugh, Jesus.
All right. Let's move away from X-Men, but we'll stick with Marvel.
Daredevil?
Edgar Wright.
Yeah, what?
Fucked.
Over creative differences.
Yep, and I know what they are.
Left Ant-Man. It was script changes that he was not part of.
Do you know what they were?
No.
They were supposed to be.
Do you know or do you think you know?
No, I know no. Oh, okay. I definitely heard this from a reliable source. The script changes had to do with more closely tying him to the Avengers universe. And Edgar Wright was like, there's enough in here already for that. And Marvel Films was like, no, there isn't. It was him and Kevin Feige.
Yeah, that went at it.
That's what I think. Yeah, that's what I understand it to be that.
Okay, so now. That being said,
but that sucks.
It does suck because Edgar Wright has had a vision for it for so long. That being said, I could understand Marvel's position to a certain degree, and I can understand his position. Marvel's like, listen, we're building this fucking cinematic universe. When you wanted to do Ant-Man, there was no Avengers originally, right? There, that wasn't a thing. You just wanted to do this character. But now we have this universe and we have to have some sort of cohesiveness.
Yeah.
So I will say that, see, I'm very hit and miss with Edgar Wright.
Really?
I'm hit and miss with Edgar Wright. Like, I really liked Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
And I really liked Scott Pilgrim.
Yep.
I did not at all like Hot Fuzz.
I did.
And
I liked
World's
all those
End
movies.
For me was like...
Okay.
Did Edgar Wright do the... what was the little alien movie?
Alien movie.
Yeah, with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Paul.
Did he do Paul?
I don't know. I don't know if that was Edgar Wright or not. I'm not sure.
Look that up and see if that was Edgar Wright. If that was Edgar Wright, I thought Paul was a great movie.
I know the Cornetto trilogy obviously is the most important, the big three for Edgar Wright. And then Scott Pilgrim is probably the one.
I think Scott Pilgrim, though, it really shows the ability that he has with visual effects and all that kind of stuff to do Ant-Man, would be...
My point is, I think that Edgar Wright would have been fully capable of giving us a great Ant-Man movie.
Yep.
But I also wonder if Edgar Wright had become so set in his my universe, my way, my guys kind of thing.
Yeah.
That perhaps he was being a bit difficult. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I wasn't in the boardroom. I was not a fly on the wall. Do I think it's sad? I think it's sad. Do I think it instantly means that Ant-Man is going to now be a terrible movie? I absolutely do not think that.
Who's going to take over?
They haven't announced it yet. He did not do Paul. Okay. Yeah, I thought that was more Simon Pegg, wasn't it? It was more.
Yeah.
Directing.
So I don't think that Edgar Wright leaving is the death knell of Ant-Man.
Well, I think doesn't it stall it? Isn't it shooting right now? And the director just left in the middle of production?
Yeah. So we don't know if it will impact it yet. Clearly it should, considering it's about a year and 2 months away.
Well,
and so filming should be going on very soon. I don't think filming had begun yet. So they have to find someone.
That's fucking crazy.
Sweet. But remember, they have a script, so you just have to find a director that's willing to use the script.
Yeah, but you know, you can tell when a director is just following along. You need someone who's going to be. I wonder if this is, you know, they're going to try to get. Well, who would you want to step in and direct at the last second that Marvel has close ties with?
I don't know.
Has Kevin Feige, has he ever directed anything?
No.
No.
Kevin Smith could do it, maybe.
No way.
I'm not saying they would pick him. I'm just saying he would want to direct movies, and
yeah. that is out.
Except that he's putting out like three more movies since he said
maybe
he was
they
never
get John Favreau to come back to do it.
No,
that won't happen either.
No, well, he's still in Disney. He's still in bed with Disney.
Iron Man 3 without me.
He's still in bed with Disney though. He's putting out that other Disney movie.
Sure, but the one with him in the food truck. See how many more Marvel movies he does. It's not Disney's not the issue.
I understand that. So look, they haven't announced it. Do I think it's gonna slow it down? I think it's probably gonna slow it down.
That's sad.
But
still got Guardians to look forward to.
Still have Guardians to look forward to. We also still have Daredevil to look forward to. Just last week we were saying, I can't believe they haven't announced any casting for Daredevil.
Oh, guess what?
And then we get some Daredevil news this week.
Ain't that the shit.
Two bits of news. Before we get to the casting, first we have...
More layoffs.
Yeah, more layoffs. but this wasn't so much as a layoff. I think Drew Goddard, who was originally supposed to produce, right?
Showrunner.
Left, but he was, it was, wasn't
he didn't leave. He was fired.
Was he fired?
Yep.
Okay.
That's my understanding of that situation was he was let go.
Well, they've already found someone to replace him.
Yeah. The guy that did Spartacus on Stars.
Yeah. But he also worked on, listen to the resume. He also worked on Buffy, Angel, Dollhouse.
Drew Goddard did all those, didn't he?
No. The new guy.
Yeah.
Also
like half of his credits are Whedon related projects.
Okay. I thought Drew Goddard was all Buffy and Angel and so forth.
Maybe they worked together. That's a dicking over.
So for whatever reason, this guy left. And clearly Whedon had someone in mind who he wanted to see step in. And I'm okay with that. I trust Whedon. And Whedon I trust.
Okay.
So, but let's move on to the casting. Charlie Cox has been cast as Daredevil.
He's a Cox.
You might know him from Boardwalk Empire. What else was he in? He was in Cabin in the Woods, but I did not see Cabin in the Woods, so I cannot speak to that.
It's you know what?
Role.
If you have if but you've I know not him from Boardwalk seen Empire. Boardwalk Empire, A, you should. And B, he was so great in Boardwalk Empire, I don't care much what else his resume is.
I agree. I think that's a
you know,
I'm actually excited about that casting choice.
I really am too.
Drew Goddard stepped away from the series in order to focus on Sinister Six.
Okay,
Sony gave him Sinister Six.
That's opposite of what I've heard. Okay. That's fine. If he'd like to step away into a pile of shit, I don't have any problem with that.
So, how do you feel about Charlie Cox stepping into?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect choice.
He seems...
They red his hair up. They mess up his eyes a little bit. He'll be fine.
I think he's a fine actor.
Yeah.
I'm just having a hard time seeing him as Daredevil.
I have two words for you.
What?
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, okay.
As
Daredevil or as Batman?
As Daredevil.
Yes, but I actually saw Ben Affleck as Daredevil. I actually liked Ben Affleck as Daredevil.
Affleck, in my opinion, was too tall and too broad to play Daredevil.
All right.
That said, I still like the Daredevil movie, you and me.
Of course.
Two of the only eight people in the world who like the movie.
Eight, it's a little high.
It probably is. That's more people than like Treme. Oh, shut up. So the point is, what?
What's Treme?
It's that show that only you watch. Is that still on? Was that canceled?
I don't fucking know.
It comes on right after
Treme Watcher. I'm getting him a t-shirt that says, I watch Treme. I think Charlie Cox seems a much more reasonable choice for the Daredevil, the way I've always seen Daredevil. Not as so... you know, broad and huge, but more sleek and, you know, like, I want to say normal, but that doesn't make it sound very good.
Well, we also have the official plot synopsis for the Daredevil miniseries. Blinded as a young boy, but imbued with extraordinary senses, Matt Murdock fights against injustice by day as a lawyer and by night as the superhero Daredevil in modern day Hell's Kitchen, New York City.
Nice use of the word imbued.
So
that's the plot
Daredevil.
Line?
Yeah.
Wait,
that's the character.
That's the plot line? Yeah, that's the character description.
But you know what? I'm comfortable in some of the things that they give there. It seems like, you know,
modern day Hell's Kitchen, that's an improvement over the comic book.
Listen, you need to get over that. And I'll tell you why. Because I've been reading the book, And I'm okay with the change. Only because it seems to make sense with the events that took place in the book prior to him moving.
Did you buy those? Did you buy those books?
Sure.
Liar.
Let's move on. Gareth Edwards, hot off the tail of Godzilla, has been given the 2016, yet to be named...
Godzilla sequel.
Star Wars spinoff film.
Ah, okay.
So we don't know what it is, although there was a... He posted a photo on the Twitter
today. It's
called
Crate Dragon.
Yeah. He posted a photo on Twitter today. It was him and... I forget who else it was. It was him and somebody else posing in front of a statue of Darth Vader, and it was like about to go into a meeting with our new boss or... This is our new boss or something along those lines. So
yeah,
something
they're right. hot into finishing up the script and pre-production already on that film, just like they were a year ago on episode 7. So we're going to start hearing stuff just like we did a year ago now. Right. We're going to start hearing stuff about this movie like we did.
Are they still doing 7. All those Darth Vader TV specials and all that shit that we talked about a while back?
I haven't heard that they've changed that, but I think a lot of that is going to be like retrospective-y type stuff. Yeah. And it's not going to be like original content. Writing the screenplay for the yet-to-be-named...
You know, probably on, like, the TV Guide channel. Yeah. That kind
yet,
of shit.
Yet-to-be-named or film. Gary... Oh, excuse me. Gary Whitta is working on the screenplay. You may know him from... he actually worked on The Walking Dead Telltale Game.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he also worked on Book of Eli. I actually liked Book of Eli.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people did not like Book of Eli. But really, it was a pretty good... Pretty good flick. It was a pretty good sci-fi movie, in my opinion.
That was the Hughes brothers directed that, wasn't it?
I don't recall.
Book of Eli, I think, was the Hughes
brothers. I don't remember.
And with that, I think that's it, unless you have something else for the news.
Nope.
Well, I think now that we are about 50 minutes into the
show,
probably take our first break. Of course, during our first break, you will hear a new game stuff this week by Coke Logic. So enjoy that.
Is it a regular game stuff or is it a super game?
It's only super game stuff when we don't do a show.
Oh, okay. Got it.
it's just game stuff.
Gotcha.
The rest of the time. It's always super game stuff. He does a super job.
Is it about Watch Dogs?
Actually, I know it's at least in part about the new Lego Batman announcement. I don't know if we talked about Watch Dogs because I did not have a chance to listen
to
it.
All I hear about Watch Dogs is how nobody slept last night.
Yeah, because I kind of want to talk about Watch Dogs, but if he talks about Watch Dogs, I'm not going to
talk about it. It's okay.
All right.
We'll talk about it when we
get back. Let's go to the break.
The book is 2 inches thick. The playbook for it.
Hey, it's your pal, Anthony Cumia here, and you're apparently listening to Game Stuff with the inimitable Coke Logic.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Watch Dogs, the game that was originally a next-gen launch title, has finally been released. Has it been worth the wait? I don't know. I just started playing. Get off my back! What I can say is I was expecting an open-world Hitman-style game, and while there's an option for stealth, it feels more like Grand Theft Auto with hacking. Is this game worth playing? Yes. And you can play it now on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC... and maybe even someday on Wii U. Probably not on Wii U. As E3 swiftly approaches, the surprise announcements continue to leak out onto the internet. The latest game to be told? Battlefield Hardline, the next entry in the Battlefield series, developed by Visceral Games, the people that brought you the Dead Space trilogy. And it looks like a shitload of fun. They're going more for cops and robbers, like a heist movie type of thing, and the 7 minutes of footage on the web looks fucking awesome. Google it now or wait for the official unveiling on June 9th when Battlefield Hardline explodes at E3. Lego Batman 3 Beyond Gotham has been announced on every single platform and will arrive this fall 2014. The Beyond Gotham part is because you're going into outer space. The Lego Batman games have been great, and here's the next one. Look forward to it. Mario Kart 8 comes out this Friday, May 30th. If you're one of the handful of people that bought a Wii U, this is one of the handful of games you bought a Wii U for. A few games got delayed. Tom Clancy's The Division has been delayed until 2015. The PlayStation 4 exclusive, The Order 1886, has been delayed until 2015. And The Evil Within has been delayed from August to October 2014. so at least the last one ain't so bad. And finally, Nintendo has said they will be using near-field technology with the Wii U pad for Super Smash Bros. What is this? It's the technology they use for Skylanders and Disney Infinity. So Nintendo is hinting at selling plastic figures to unlock characters in Smash Bros. The question I have is, would they really cut the roster of fighters in their game to sell toys? Skylander and Infinity only let you play with the characters that you physically own the toy of. It's an interesting development, and I can't wait to get the poorly messaged misinformation only a few weeks from now at E3. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
You sure? You just cut you off in the middle of your sentence?
I thought you were having a casual conversation.
I was making a very important point about
you were talking about how it's only 2 inches. And that's a shame for you. But listen.
Yes, that's it.
The show must go on.
No, you're right. You're right. No.
Must go on.
You were
talking about Watch Dogs.
All I said was I heard the instruction book is big. No? That's not true? No. Oh, okay. Someone had told me that.
Maybe they've got the game, the walkthrough
guide. Like a player's
guide
or something like that?
Yeah, they got the walkthrough guide.
I heard that it's very involved.
I feel as though instruction books are now just shy of being a double-sided pamphlet. Like every time I buy a game, they're smaller and smaller. It's like basic controls, basic disclaimers, and a website, and that's
everything,
it. It's
like everything's like Dragon's Lair. Yeah, when is the flash? Go. That's it.
Yeah, but I liked instruction books that are like they're written in universe and they got some.
There was like some gray matter. You know, my favorite part of the instruction manual was the memo section.
Yeah,
where you can write your own notes.
Write down all your codes.
No, I did that. Of course.
That was fucking cool. No, the Watch Dogs one is one page, and it's like, disclaimer, this could cause seizures. Right. Don't let your kids play it. Here's a little map of the controller. Go fuck yourself. Warranty.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck, pal. Good luck.
Yeah. Go to the website for more information.
Justin Bailey, written in the memo section. But before we move on with the show, of course, we have to mention lovely Suburban Vinyl.
Suburban Vinyl.
Twice we've mentioned them today. Just saying.
I know, but this is the official. This is like the official plug. Plus, we owe them like 3 weeks. So
yeah.
We are catching up.
True.
Suburban Vinyl in lovely Waldwick, New Jersey. Of course, coming up on June 21st from 6 to 9 p.m. at their store, 4 Frederick Street in Waldwick, New Jersey.
Is that a Saturday?
It is a Saturday.
Oh, I can make that.
The Suburban Vinyl Blood Type Positive Show. It's a custom vampire blood droplet show. Of course, the original sculpt by Mike Nemo Mendez, and then a plethora of artists contributing to the platform. Waste of Talent, Toss's Image, 64 Colors, Force of Darkness, Jay Fury, Jason Chalker. I like Jason Chalker.
I like Chalker.
He's a good cat.
Is Pimp it gonna 2D2. Be like, I was going to say, is it like Pimp Blood blood drop?
Selena from Jelly Empire is going to be there.
Really?
Brian from Deadhead and Toys is going to be there. A lot of guys, Matt A, guys we've seen before. A lot of guys we know are going to be there, or at least they're going to have pieces in the show. I don't know who's actually going to be there in attendance. But if you are around on June 21st, you should check out that show. Of course, you should also shop online over at suburbanvinyl.com, where there is a coupon code. And that is?
What? Outrageous.
I know. And what is the code?
It's scapegoat. The letters O-N-G.
Nope, that's not it either.
Okay. And I'll go for the third choice, Big Kev.
It is Big Kev, and that will get you
10% off your entire order.
There you go. So check out suburbanvinyl.com, and of course, Suburban Vinyl in lovely Waldwick, New Jersey.
Order the bag of sand.
Do they have a bag of sand?
I don't know.
just sounds like they should.
One thing I do know that they have is that if you do go to the store in person, and you speak to our friend... The mayor, Smack, Rob, Blink. There's gonna be 3 or 4 I'm missing.
I'm sure
he is like the what's his name? Oh my god, I'm gonna suck out on this joke. Who's the guy Rocky fights all the time? Apollo Creed. He is the Apollo Creed of the vinyl art world. Yeah. With all the names. And if you say that you heard about his lovely shop or the lovely shop on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you're going to get a free lollipop.
Huzzah, I say.
Yep, free lollipop.
All right, let's move on to some product. We teased this last week, but unfortunately, because we were long-winded last week, we did not get to talk about it. This is the Power Lords figures from the Four Horsemen.
Oh my God, I've been terribly excited about getting these. Now, I have to say that in the 80s, I was not a terrific fan necessarily of these toys, of the original ones on which these are based. However, 3 3/4 scale Four Horsemen created, I'm totally in. Like, I love all of them. We've been talking about them. Bless you there, Scapegoat. We've been talking about these since their inception, right?
Yeah.
We've been following the process. We've been following the developments and so on and so forth. We've even reviewed some of the pre-release. Well, now the carded sort of, I guess, would you say the actual...
this is the official release.
The official release.
They are up for pre-order now.
Uh-huh.
If you go over to Store Horseman or shopforhorseman.com, you can get them, of course. Adam Power, Lord Power, they're 15 apiece. Griptog, G-G-R-I-P-P-T-O-G-G. There's too many G's and P's in there.
I call him Graptic.
Yeah, well, no. Griptog.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is 20.
No, wait, let's take
and
these.
And the Graptic Trooper is 40.
Right. And we'll get to that. And then there's another one, too.
Right. That is the Graptarg fan club exclusive, which we do have in studio.
Yeah, we do.
But he is already sold out online.
Oh, he is?
So you cannot get him in the store.
Let's talk about him first, then.
Yes.
The Graptarg Four-Fisted Sergeant. This is kind of the bad guys that the Power Lords fight. It's a huge figure for 3 3/4. He's got to be 4.5 inches, maybe 5.
Yeah, and he weighs a good 50 or 60 pounds.
Yeah, not that heavy, but it's a big figure. Comes with a big mace and a big, there it is. Sorry, weapon, the Super Lance. Oh, I see those two bits combined. Oh, wow, that's actually a humongous weapon. Four arms, orange skin, so on and so forth. OG will put pictures up so you can check all these out. So the Sergeant is the exclusive. Great figure, great piece. I have to say, though, of all of the sort of the enemies, the Graptic Four-Fisted Trooper,
yeah,
got to be my favorite one.
That's an awesome figure.
That comes with four different heads, so
right,
you can choose, which means,
army builders be damned.
I know. I mean, army builders are going to lose their mind over this. I mean, you could have a whole army of, even if you bought just four.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
you could mix and match. There's different color arms. He also has the Super Lance. Like I said, different color arms, different color heads, different, all sorts of different things in here. There's a piece in the back there on this one that I cannot identify. Oh, I think it's a different cowl maybe kind of thing. I don't know. I can't identify what that piece is. Huh, interesting. Right in the back of the Graptic package. Who's that leave? Graptog is the Four-Fisted Brute. He's the red-colored alien in the Power Lords series. He also comes with the Super Mace.
Right.
Super Mace is a big... I think the Super Mace is bigger than Lord Power, isn't it?
Yeah, that looks like a chest plate. Like, it the head pops off.
That's what
the
I mean. Yeah, that's what I thought. It might be something like that. And then we have Adam Power, who's the leader of the Lords.
Right.
A hero of incredible strength, Adam Power absorbs cosmic energy of the Power Jewel to magically change himself into Lord Power, leader of the Power Lords. He protects and defends both the humanoid and extraterrestrial galaxies and uses Vulcan Rock as his secret stronghold. So that's Adam Power. And then you can also get, wherever he ended up, do I have him over here? Oh, I do.
Yes, you have all of them. Lord Power.
You also get the Lord Power, which is when he's absorbed all that energy. Then he turns into Lord Power. Now, Lord Power, I remember as a figure. He kind of has sort of the regular trooper pants, but he's all blue and shirtless at the top. Right? The other, the Lord Power, I'm sorry, the Adam Power figure comes with helmet, the lance, and the gun, just like the troopers that we've been reviewing for months and months now. We did them in black, white, I think red, blue, different colors that the Four Horsemen produced. And then Lord Power comes with the other helmet, also has the lance sort of weapon. Sorry, Power Staff. And the Ion Blaster Gun is what their official names are. And he has the other type helmet as well. So, I mean, such a great set of figures, great articulation. Of course, sculpting, design, package design is reminiscent right down to the Revell logo that used to be up there that now says Four Horsemen, done in the same style. Absolutely.
And of course, it is the resealable.
Resealable, packaging. So you can pop them out,
much
set
like
them up.
The Outer Spacemen packaging.
Correct.
So, you know, look, if you're a fan of nostalgia, if you're a fan of the Four, even if you're not a fan of the Power Lords, but you're a fan of the quality work that the Horsemen tend to put out with their figures, like if you like the Outer Spacemen, I think that these would display really well with the Outer Spacemen.
These are a little bigger than the Outer Spacemen.
The scale is probably a little bit bigger.
A tiny bit bigger.
But still,
doesn't matter. They still
display
nice altogether. Yeah, absolutely. And also, we should say this. The one thing I want to point out is, and I don't have an answer, so I'm expecting next week that we'll, or in the coming weeks, we'll have a phone call from one Eric Kornboy who will explain to us where Sidot,
Supreme is. He's on the packaging, but no figure. Not on Shop Horse, not on Storm Horseman.
Heard no discussion about this guy at all. So
it's a cool looking figure, though.
It is. And I think I remember that figure from the old series, though. I'm not sure.
He kind of reminds me of...
He looks like he could be the funny sidekick.
He kind of reminds me of what if the Brood were injected with the Joker's happy toxin?
But I think he's a lizard. He kind of looks
But the Brood was kind of lizardous, weren't they?
No, they were bugs.
Okay, all right.
I think they were bugs.
I thought they were kind of reptilian.
Well, 6 characters on the back, only 5 produced, Kornboy. What's the story? Give us the 411. We need it.
What's the haps?
What's the Kornboy? Haps, as they would say. Check out sourcehorseman.com, powerlordsreturn.com, and storehorseman.com to pre-order these fantastic figures. Now, I don't know where they're going with the Power Lords. Are they going beyond this?
I don't know.
That's also something that that Kornboy should explain to us, because if this is the end, or they're going to do like one or two figures like the one that's missing on the back of the package, I want to know where this is going, A, and B, I want to know if they've obtained the right to Sectars yet and are going to be starting on Sectars or...
Magma Core
in 3 3/4, the same scale as the Power Lords. That's right, Kornboy. We're saying it again. Magma Core.
I want that tank girly looking girl.
The figures that the Four Horsemen had a retrospective. I want to say this is 2 years ago now. They showed the Magma Core characters in 3 3/4. There were some vehicles. There were some mounts. There were things. It was totally awesome.
So
we were
cool.
Totally in, and we got nothing. They said, we're going to explore 3 3/4. We're here. We're ready to receive.
If you've never seen the Four Horsemen Commander Argus figure, seek one out.
Correct.
It's an amazing...
It is an amazing figure.
Amazing piece of toy art.
Yes. So, Power Lords, check them out. We're so excited, so grateful that we're able to talk about great independent toys like these. It just gives us the biggest thrill to be able to promote this kind of thing and talk about it, because we are such big fans.
Moving past the Power Lords.
And with that, OG.
Nope, one more thing.
Oh.
One more thing. This is big for us.
Uh-oh.
We have a new release coming. We teased this last week. We have a new release coming our online store. On
Store Geek Stuff?
No, it's our Store Envy store. So I think it's Big Kev Geek Stuff or BK Geek Stuff. That's storeenvy.com. If you go to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.com and click on the shop link,
it'll bring you
store
there.
Store link, it brings you right there.
Gotcha.
This is being released Friday, June 13th, 2014, in conjunction with Chris Dolfer from Kid Ink Industries. This is the Mommy's Boy custom 3-inch resin figure. You know, it's kind of themed to the date. You know what I'm saying? It's the bagheaded version of
Wait, so we're getting which version?
It's the same. It's the same.
Oh.
Is it bag is removable?
Oh, I gotcha.
Hand sewn. Yeah, it's. Oh Jesus, the freaking pictures won't go
away. What are you doing?
I know. This is a custom 3-inch resin figure featuring ugly-faced mommy's boy, hand-cast and hand-painted resin, all by Chris.
Oh, ugly-faced mama's boy looks very familiar to
very,
me.
Very familiar. Cloth bag-headed mask, which is
but no hockey mask.
And
get it?
Bloody revenge axe.
Get it? No, get it? No hockey mask?
Well, let's listen.
Are we going to get that version for New York Comic Con?
It's specific to a specific version of...
I got you. What's he called again? Bloody's mama's boy? What is it?
It's mommy's boy.
Mommy's boy.
So,
Mommy's hockey star.
Yeah. The late 1970s and early 1980s, so many good things came out of them. One of them was the unstoppable, fear-inspiring monsters of the time, an unlikable killer who wore a hockey mask and cut up naughty, morally weak camp counselors like tender filet mignons. Paying homage to Friday the 13th of the 80s slasher films, this release focuses particularly on the second installment, where we see our anti-hero developing his persona before he donned the iconic hockey mask and machete.
Part three.
Back in the early days. Except we were talking about, I was talking about this with Chris today.
Yeah.
And part three wasn't Jason, but was Jason.
It was
but wasn't
Jason.
Jason.
It was Jason.
They retconned that in part six.
No, he's wrong. It's all Jason.
I thought
movie.
It was supposed to be the guy in town that went nutty.
No, it's Jason. The guy in town who went nutty is the ambulance driver from part five.
I thought that was three.
Nope, that's five.
Okay.
Three is definitely Jason. It's definitely where he gets the hockey mask.
Okay.
Four is four. I'll just give you a brief overview. Four is Corey Feldman.
Right.
Where he kills Jason. He actually kills Jason outright for the first time by putting a hatchet through his head at the end of the movie. They tease you into thinking Corey Feldman's character, Tommy Jarvis, is going to turn into the new killer. In five, Tommy Jarvis has been has been committed to an insane institution not far from presumably where Camp Blood or Camp Crystal Lake is, something like that. But the killer is not Jason or Tommy Jarvis. It's an ambulance driver who one of the crazy kids gets killed by another crazy kid.
Right.
And this drives this guy over the edge because the crazy kid who got killed was his son. So he now wants to kill all the crazy kids because he is crazy. So he dresses as Jason to do so. Fucks up Tommy Jarvis into thinking it's Jason, but it isn't really Jason. Then in part six.
Are we in space yet?
No.
We're not getting that far.
No, we get there. Six is Arnold Horshack.
Right.
In the beginning of the movie.
Bites with the shovel.
With a grown-up Tommy Jarvis. Right? That's six. Seven is... six is Tommy Jarvis drowns Jason in the lake at the end of the movie, which is supposed to kill him
and
forever.
And then his eyes pop.
Right.
Yeah.
Seven is the girl, the telekinetic girl, brings Jason back up out of the lake. Had the best makeup in the movies.
Eight
is Manhattan. Takes Manhattan. No more needs to be said. Nine is not technically...
Is that Freddy versus Jason?
No,
is that nine?
No. Okay. Nine is like... There's like a crazy doctor who eats part of Jason during an autopsy, and like it is the Halloween 3
of the
Friday the 13 movies. Yeah, it really is. It has to do with, but it's removed. 10 or X
space.
That's space. I think the 11th one would be considered Freddy versus Jason, and then the reboot. Friday the 13th. Okay. That's the whole saga.
Wow. So are they going to make a 13th? They haven't made a 13th yet?
Not yet. We haven't gotten there.
10. Technically, the next one would be the 13th movie to feature Jason in it, if they did one, but I haven't heard about it.
I have some more gray matter to read.
Go.
And some more details. This tribute series is a hand-cast and hand-painted baghead edition featuring a hand-sewn baghead mask and bloody revenge axe, as well as the OG deformed ugly face that was hiding under that dirty old bag, says Chris. These are going to be limited to 13 pieces. Out of the 13 randomly inserted are two chase pieces, one glow in the dark and one gold tinted. They will be $45 a piece, free domestic shipping to the United States, and then international shipping as appropriate. And again, they will be available in our store Envy site on Friday the 13th. I will post all that information on the website as well, along with a ton of photos. We have photos of the packaging and the figure and all sorts of goodness. So look for that.
Yes. I'm very excited to be working with fill in artist name here. on this wonderful project.
Why would you not say his name? That's terrible. Chris is a lovely young man.
I love Dulfer.
And he does some great work.
I actually have a Dulfer original piece in my collection.
I've got like, I have several.
I have one.
I have several.
I don't have a sumo trooper. How the hell did that happen? You got like five of them.
I've got four sumo troopers. The guy behind him is a Dulfer piece.
Dulfer, could I get a sumo trooper?
And I've got, my sumo troopers. I've got a TIE fighter and Carbonite over on that shelf.
Oh, yeah,
I
might have one of those.
And I have one of his, you should have two or three of those.
What?
The Carbonite piece.
I think I only have one.
No, you should have more than that. And
where would they be? In the con box?
Maybe.
Oh, they might be in the con box.
And I also have his Charon. I have one of his Charon, the boat. The guy that takes you on the boat?
Yeah.
I have his, but that's in my office at work. I keep that one at work.
Oh, gotcha.
So,
I would pay for a sumo trooper.
Yes.
Cast in white, but painted.
Painted like a trooper?
But painted like, you know, the fleshy parts, fleshy. Yeah. The like black on the t-shirt. Details. Yeah, like on the t-shirt.
Like on the t-shirt.
Yeah. That's what I want.
So in comics this week.
Check out Kid Ink Industries. StoreMV.com. Of course, check out BigKevsGeekStuff.com. More information as the release gets closer.
No.
In comics this week, the new issue of Batman came out. Batman Eternal came out.
Sure.
And that's it. That's all we have time for.
Saga.
Today.
Somehow you avoided talking about Saga.
It's
again?
20 after.
Oh,
it's,
is that what it
it's
is?
It's an hour and 20 minutes. We got to wrap. Look, you can hear the wrap up music even now.
Oh, how convenient for you.
There's no key.
And so this saga continues.
That's right.
Bum, bum.
Oh, man.
Episode 240. See what he did there? The saga continues.
Shit.
Next week, teaser.
He's just trying to catch me in something that it's just ridiculous.
Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. You can find us over on Twitter at GeekStuffOG.
Scapegoat GS.
BKGeekStuff.
Yep.
I sent out a Twitter recently for something.
You sent out a
was
Twitter.
Was it for Hannibal?
You sent out a Twitter.
I twitted.
You're a twit. So,
Oh, thanks.
No problem.
You're a pal.
Don't forget, you could also leave us a call over at the GVM line.
Which is 425-920-6050.
I may have tweeted that I was very disappointed with the season finale of Call the Midwife.
Okay.
Because Jessica Raine is leaving the show. She's hot.
And I have one more shout out, unless you guys have anything else you want to do that?
So no saga? No.
Quick shout out to Coffee Cup Robot over on Twitter. Last week when we announced
the
new
show. Did he win the contest?
He did not. But last week when we announced the new show had gone up online,
yes.
He did that photo of Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting in front of the
that was awesome.
The cup of coffee with the headphones and geek stuff on the phone.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Great little picture, right?
Contest.
All right, do it.
So we are going to have a fabulous Chris Dulfer prize. It may not be a Chris Dulfer prize, but we are going to have a fabulous prize for the person who creates some sort of imagery
right
around the new episode of this program being up. You can choose episode 239 or 240. So we'll stretch it for two weeks.
So you want to make it specific to the episode.
It doesn't have to be. Did we talk about Deadpool last week?
We didn't. No. It was specific to the pod. Was the podcast
specific
really.
To the show?
Right.
Right. So if you want to take inspiration, OG will repost that photo on the website, on Facebook, and so on and so forth. You do that. You like us on Facebook.
Okay.
You post that photo on the page. We'll pick the best one.
All right.
And there you go. We will give you a fabulous prize.
Fantastic.
Sideshow from Sideshow.
There you go. No. Don't say that.
What?
I can't guarantee anything.
I have a calendar.
And that woman that runs the PR at Sideshow now, she gives away shit all the time. Yeah. I don't know if they have anything left to give to anybody else.
Calendar, sir.
Okay, that's it. Calendar. I have an old coffee table book.
I was going to say, I have a mug somewhere.
I have a DVD.
Whatever the prize is, it will be absolutely fabulous.
Sure.
That's for sure. You will love the prize. And it helps you be involved with the program, is the way I see it. And with that, OG and Scapegoat, to a lesser extent, we will end this, bring this episode to a close by doing the thing that we do to end all episodes, which is saying goodnight, Maya Angelou. wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.